is Suzanne, and my question is, how do you get over the loss of an adult daughter? She's not dead, but she's lost to me.
Oh, boy. And you're in pain. You're in pain, Susanna. We hear it. Dr. Randy here in the Intentional Living Center. We love you. Got the best for you. If you've got adult sons or daughters, maybe they're breaking your heart or maybe just concerning you. You're just worried about decisions they're making, or maybe all the way out on the extreme of saying, hey, they have become a prodigal. We are here in the next 28 minutes to lift you up, give you some specific teaching from Scripture. We're going to hear what Jesus has to say about having a son or daughter who is a prodigal, someone who is you love and cherish and never expected to be in this situation, and here you are, and how to handle it. And this is a community of people. All across the network of Intentional Living and Family Life Radio, we are here to encourage one another, and I just want to open the phone lines, and I'm asking those of you right now, you've been down this trail, either you were a prodigal in your own life, and your parents did some things right, did some things wrong. What did they do right? What did they do wrong? Help some other parents. Maybe you're a parent, been down this trail, and you've learned one thing about a son or daughter. You love them. They're adults. One thing you did that you want to pass along that was helpful. All right? Give me a call. Let's go. 888-888-1717. Steven just slid into the chair. He's ready to take your calls, and we'll get you on here ASAP. We're live in the studio today. And by the way, everyone who calls, Steven will tell you how you can get hooked up with a One Thing devotional that we've created for you and only for those of you today calling. It's our gift to you when you call 888-888-1717. Prodigals. You know, when we think about a son or daughter who gets off the path of what we anticipated or the intention we had for them, it's nuanced, because I know some of you today are just dealing with some maybe simpler kinds of issues, and then some of you are dealing with some more serious concerns. And so how do you deal with that? Jesus didn't leave us empty with this. He gave us a powerful story of a guy who had to deal with this in his own family. And I'll read part of that to you in a little bit. And just a little bit of teaching, let you know what Jesus thinks about this, what he taught us. And then we want to hear from you to help others, okay? If you're in the midst of this, maybe today you just want to sit back and listen and absorb and pray and ask God to speak to you as others call to help, okay? 888-888-1717 is the number. We're live, 888-888-1717. Let's go to our first caller.
Hi, my name is Annette, and I was just listening to your wonderful show, and the Holy Spirit, I believe, led me to make this call. So I'm having a struggle with three young adults, and they're all close in age. They're all in their early 20s. It's like having triplets. Like a lot of mothers, you know, feel like I'm pulling out my hair. But I do seek the Lord in prayer, and that helps with every situation. Currently, I'm struggling with my daughter, and many kids out there make a decision to move out of the home, and they think everything's going to be A-OK. And they're being influenced by the outside world, and I'm just concerned with my daughter and, you know, her decisions and her disrespectful towards me. But there's also division in the family, and sometimes parents gain up on other parents and turn the kids against one another, or you know, the kids against them. And so that's kind of the family dynamic that's going on in my family. And actually, there's decisions that need to be made. You know, just trying to get some guidance on what I can do to encourage her to move back home, or, you know, get out of the situation she's in and try to follow a good path for herself and her spiritual life. So just very worried about her. Didn't anticipate she would move out at 19 and she's 20. So that's my story, and I hope I can get some guidance with that.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you, Anna, for sharing that on our storyline. So many people call with issues. Our lines are completely jammed as people are calling from all over the country because this is an issue. We love our kids, and they grow up, and sometimes you shake your head thinking, are they making decisions that are going to be healthy for them and help them grow in their relationship with Christ? And other times you wonder, and how do you handle that? There's a powerful story in Scripture I'm going to get to in just a moment. Jesus does not leave us void not knowing how to handle this. And it's a great story we'll get to in just a moment. But first, let me go to Donna in New Mexico. Hey, Donna, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Good. How do you relate to this thing on adult children?
I just give him to God. That's all we can do is just give him to God and pray for him.
How old is he? How old is your son?
He's in his 30s.
And so when you say you pray for him and give him to God, what do you do when things are done or things are said or whatever it is he's facing that really break your heart? What do you do after you've given him to God?
I just pray for him. That's all we can do is just things have, you can't no longer, you know, tell him because he doesn't listen. So all you can do is just pray for him and give all my worries to God.
How's your heart on this today?
My heart is good because I know that he's in God's hands.
So you've been able to do that, which is an important thing to do. And it's part of the lesson we're going to get to here in a moment. Thank you, Donna. Appreciate that. Let me go to Gabriel, who's listening in Arizona. Hi there. How are you?
I'm doing good. You know, I love hearing your show, and it's something that I really enjoy, and I learn. You know, as we learn, as we read scriptures, we learn. As I listen to your program, I learn as well.
Well, good. What have you learned about this on this topic?
This topic, I have a lot about it. I had a beautiful daughter that I raised. Her name is Angel. I raised her because she was 14. And then mom kind of pushed the issue. Mom lives in Kingman, Arizona. So to get me to court, they had to have lies and deception. My daughter was pretty well grounded, a straight-A student, going to our family church, in the choir, in the dance. I was just proud of her, of the young Christian woman she had become. And her mom wanted her to go live with her out there. So we ended up going to court. And at the end of the day, the judge decided she needed to be with the mom. And I kind of agreed with that, but not to the extent that it is. My daughter pretty much got upset with me, and she kind of turned her back on me. And the last 3 years, I had no contact, and I'd given her space like she asked, and then I'm the bad parent. But, you know, at the end of the day, like I told the judge, you know, it's God's will. It's going to be done, not mine's. And I realized this, maybe it was meant for her to be with the mom, but it's God's truth I'm standing on. And I believe that every day. If not, if I wasn't a man of God, I probably wouldn't be in the right place of mind.
You know, Gabrielle, when we think about when we think about this thing of our kids, if we truly see them as a gift from God, we don't own them. And I think many times as parents, if we can get into our head, we own our kids. Now, we feel responsible, but there's a line between being responsible and being responsible. There's a line there, especially as they become adults. And I think Donna, the first caller, just saying, hey, I don't know. I got a 30-year-old son. I don't know what the story is. It doesn't matter. Every story is different, but the outcomes are similar. When you have a rebellious prodigal child, they make decisions, as we see in Scripture here in a moment. And what can you do but give them to God at that point, which is really hard to do. And Gabrielle, in your case, you know, you've been down a different path, different story, different pieces to that puzzle. But again, giving your daughter to the Lord and then standing and waiting to have an opportunity to reconnect, because daughters need daddies and daddies need daughters. That's important. I want to tell you that story. It's a powerful story. If you let me do the teaching for just, I'll take about 3 or 4 minutes. I want to read some of this from Scripture, the words of Christ, and teaching us how in the world we should approach this thing of having a son or daughter that's gone off the track. We're going to get to that in just a moment.
Who's your favorite?
Huh?
Who's your favorite?
Oh! You, of course.
And who's your favorite?
I said, you.
What?
You asked me who's my favorite. It's you.
Thanks, but I was just adding some favorites to the web browser.
Okay, well, I have another for you. It's theintentionallife.com.
Oh, yeah, I love them.
Yep, you can listen on demand, keyword search the program archives, shop the online store, connect to social, and even get freebies.
Theintentionallife.com, my favorite.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ.
Thank you. Yes, I'd like to thank you for the goodness that you brought into my life, and I am subscribing to Intentional Living. The whole program is based on Christ, and I think it's a great systematic way in order to help people order their lives in Jesus. And I think that's the integral message, is Jesus Christ. God bless and have a good day.
Hey, listen, we thank each of you, men, women, young, old, couples, singles, businesses, people who step up and say, we believe in the Intentional Living message, want to be a part of it. We want to get this out to a world that is so in desperate need of something healthy, holy, and helpful in terms of growing their life in conformity to what God's intention is for their life, helping people figure out what pleases Christ and then do it. Speaking of that, let me go to the book of Luke in the New Testament. You all can keep calling. We'll get to your calls here in a moment. 888-888-1717. Jesus tells a story and has a spiritual meaning. He's teaching a spiritual principle, as he always did through these parables. And he's telling this story about a daddy with two sons. And he goes on to say that he had two sons. The younger said to the father, right now, I want what's coming to me. I just want to stop for a moment. Maybe you have two sons, two daughters. Maybe you have four kids. Have you ever noticed how they're unique and different? Some come into alignment with what God's intention is for their life. Others don't. They're unique. Yeah, we're responsible for raising them, and we have a huge part of that process in their life. But they're different, and God's created them different. They all have their own fingerprint, right? And the story goes on. So the father divided the property between them. What's interesting, dad didn't preach. He didn't demand. He didn't beg. He didn't argue. The son said, hey, listen, I want what belongs to me because I'm going to get out of here. And maybe you got a son or daughter who's saying, hey, unless you change the rules around here, I'm out of here. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean you take the backside with your foot and push him out the door, but it means in this home, this is how we're going to operate because we love God and we love you, but this is the way this family operates. What's interesting, the story goes on. Jesus says it wasn't long. Boy, you've experienced this, haven't you? It wasn't long before the younger son packed his bags and left for a distant country. Now, what's interesting, maybe you have a son or daughter and they don't pack their bags. They just want to live there and be disrespectful. They want to stay there and have all the goodies of being in your home, but live any way they want to live. And that's when there's a point of saying, hey, that ain't the way it's going to be in the house here. We love you, but that's not the way we're operating this home. But in the case of this story, the son left. And then the scripture says, they're undisciplined and dissipated. He wasted everything that he had. You know what? We see it, don't we? We can see in our children sometimes discipline or dissipation or health or unhealth, right? And they don't see it. After he had gone through all of his money, in other words, he didn't plan ahead. Come on, this happens with kids sometimes. After he'd gone through all of his money, there was a bad famine. He didn't expect that. There's the unexpected moment, and all through the country, the famine was there, and he began to hurt, it says. Jesus says he began to hurt. Finally, the hurt has hit. Right? He signed on with a citizen there who assigned him to the fields to slop the pigs. He was so hungry that he would have eaten the corn cobs of the pig slop, but no one would give him any of that anyway. Listen, all of his friends were gone now. The party was over. Everybody was gone. And here's the interesting verse, or the interesting thing that Jesus says, and this brought him to his senses. Dad didn't bring him to his senses. Mom didn't bring him to his senses. Maybe his sibling, who was the good kid. Hello, that was a whole other story about the good kid. The good kid didn't bring him to his senses. It was the loss of friends eating in the pigsty that brought him to his senses. And he said, all those farmhands working for my dad sit down to three meals a day, and here I am starving to death. I'm going back to my father. And I'll say to him, Father, I have sinned against God. I've sinned before you. I don't deserve to be called your son. Take me on as a hired hand. There's a lot of humility there. And he got up and went home. It's interesting. The next verse says, and when he was still a long way off, his father saw him. What was dad doing? Listen, maybe you've got a son or daughter who's a long way off. Maybe they're not coming home for a long time, maybe at all. But dad was waiting. He was praying. He wasn't chasing him. He didn't chase him into the pigsty. And the principles here are really important. There's, of course, the biblical principle that God unconditionally loves us, because most of us, come on, we end up in the pigsty at some point in life, don't we? Come on. Let's just be honest. We can be so rebellious and prodigal in our walk with Christ, and yet he has unconditional love. And like the Father looking out the window, Jesus looks out the window, as it were, from heaven and says, hey, come home. I love you. There's another principle on this, and you all know it if you've had a prodigal in your home. Sin affects everyone in the family. I just want to say to those of you who are ready to become a prodigal, you wouldn't use the word. You're just saying, I want to do my thing. Think about the consequences and the impact it's going to have on your mom, your dad, your friends, your family. There's a third principle here from this teaching. That is that reality is the best teacher. Sometimes we don't learn anything until we get kicked squarely in the teeth. Until we get an F in the paper at school, we don't learn that we got to study, right? And if teachers are covering for that and keep giving you C's when you should be getting an F, they never teach you that, hey, you got to buckle down if you're capable of it. That's just another thought. I have a whole teaching I do on the difference between an aha moment and an oh no moment. And in the case of this prodigal, he had an oh no moment. And so we want our children to have more aha moments, don't we? Aha, there's a better way here. And so the message I would share with parents today, and of course this is the extreme, right? Is that you can't change your kids. You got the three-foot rule. You can only do what you can do. You love them. You care for them. You pray for them. You're available. I say it this way, the hard and soft side of parenting, you can reach down to help them come out of the pit, but you don't follow them down into the pit. And this can be true in any level with our kids. And boy, knowing the nuances of how to handle that in our families can be really difficult. All right, let's do this. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We got some callers I want to get to. If you want to join in, what's one thing you've learned, either as a prodigal, that you want to share, and you've come back in some way that God has led you in your life, you want to share that story, or as a parent, one thing you've learned, give us a call. 888-888-1717.
I came across Intentional Living. I went through a very difficult time, and my word for the year was intentionality. And being able to hear a radio station that promotes or encourages intentionality was like, thank you, Lord.
Maybe you're like Patricia. Life has been difficult, but listening to Intentional Living encourages you and helps you get through your day.
With your support, people like Patricia have the tools to live an intentional life for Christ. And now you can access many of Dr. Randy's exclusive teachings on various topics whenever you want.
As we approach our spring fundraiser, support the Ministry of Intentional Living. When you do, you'll be a part of a special group that gets unlimited access to Dr. Randy's exclusive monthly teachings from the past 2 years.
So don't wait. Give $30 a month or more, or a special gift of $360, and you'll get access to these life-changing resources by calling 888-888-1717 today or visiting theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
Hey, listen, your support matters. You're keeping us going here. You're the fuel in the tank and the prayer warrior behind the scene. Without you, we're in the ditch. So thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your support. We appreciate it. Kurt mentioned, go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com. Click on that donate icon or call during West Coast business hours. 888-888-1717 is the number. Let me go to Jeremy in Wisconsin. Hey there, Jeremy. How you doing?
Hi. How are you?
Hi. Good. How do you relate to this story on prodigals?
Well, I... still dealing with this issue with my precious prodigal daughter, but in the last couple of weeks, God's given me some peace on it.
Mm. How so?
Well, she was class of 2020, so COVID ruined her. She didn't get prom. She didn't get a graduation. Oh. But she's still enlisted in the Army Airborne, and she got shipped out to Alaska. Last year, I got to go up to Alaska and visit with her, and I got to meet her boyfriend, which is the most Christian young man she's ever met. I really liked him. Good, hardworking, honest guy. I figured he might be my son-in-law. And we were talking last fall, and she was saying that they were going to come down when they got leave and visit with our family, and I get to know him better. And, you know, I figured he might be asking if he could marry her. And then what happened was he was getting out of the service in Alaska a few months before she was going to. So they decided they wanted to get married quick so that he could stay on base with her. And I was upset. I was a little prideful. I was hoping he had asked my permission, even though she doesn't need that. You know, I was also frustrated. She's got a disabled sister, and I always wanted her sister to be in her wedding. And they were saying she couldn't come up because his family couldn't all make it. So, you know, I argued a little. I called her pastor up there and asked if maybe we could all talk together. And he didn't really, that didn't really work out. And she felt embarrassed that, you know, I had called her pastor. They hadn't even talked to him about the wedding yet.
So where are you today?
Well, today she hasn't talked to me for many, many months. But in the last couple of weeks, God's given me some peace. Yeah. Because I raised her in the church and because she's still going to church, even though we have problems, if we never talk again, I know that God's going to bless her and her husband because they're good people and they're both church going. And I know just because the way she was raised, sometimes you got to let go. Well, sometimes you just got to let go and let God.
Briefly, what was it that cut off the relationship?
She was very embarrassed that I called her pastor and said that I wanted to have a discussion.
Uh-huh.
I wasn't going to disprove of the boy.
Did you apologize?
I tried to, and she kind of cut off all communications with me.
All right. Well, I think that's a really key. You know, one of the great things we can do as a parent when we do something that's dumb is to say, that was really dumb, and I apologize. Here's the deal, and you get it now, and you've got to a place where you have peace on this, and that's terrific. We always judge ourselves by our good intentions. My intention is good with our kids, right? No matter what age, you always have a good intention. I think, generally speaking, you want the best for your kids, even if they're doing jerky type things. You're saying, hey, I still want the best for you. But our intention doesn't always match their expectation. And that's vice versa, by the way. Intention of a child toward their parents can be misunderstood. And getting those two things to be aligned is a really powerful thing. And an important thing, by the way. All right. You just keep praying. And I would encourage you to leave that door open as you probably are, just like the prodigal, looking out that window, preparing the day when you can reconnect, maybe when that grandchild comes along. There'll be opportunities. We always have those moments that can be powerful in life. Okay. Let me see here. Where do I go next? Let me see. It looks like... All right, there's Eli. There we go. Hi, Eli. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Go right ahead. How do you relate to this?
So my question is I know this might not be where you're going with it, but what would you say to someone, and the someone being me, who their family views as a prodigal son simply because they stepped out of a very dark spiritual situation? In order to pursue God the way I felt that the Lord and the Bible was leading me, I had to withdraw myself from that situation. And because it does not align with their thoughts and beliefs, I am now viewed as a prodigal child. And the only way I will be accepted and welcomed back is if I have, like you said earlier, that aha moment and I messed up. And I personally, as that individual, feel that it would be turning my back on God and everything that he has brought me through to do that. What would you say to that young man who has experienced that, or I guess still is experiencing that, as his family views him as the prodigal, mm-hmm. prodigal child, where he is just every single day? I mean, I know I don't have all the answers, but I'm willing to learn them through God's word.
So let me see if I understand this. Because you and your parents, your family, disagree on scripture or what it means to be a follower of Christ, they've completely cut you off?
Yes.
So you can't talk to them? You can't have any fellowship with them? You're just out of
there? Very, very extremely limited fellowship with them.
Okay. Well, what one thing do they want you to change that you're doing or believing or whatever?
Come back to their way of thinking and their way of life.
Mm-hmm. Well, the answer is, to me, is pretty clear. Our relationship with Christ is a personal thing. And if we had time, I would really like to explore with you what you believe, what your parents believe, and tell everybody listening, don't come back to what the parents say. Eli, don't come back to what you say. Don't come back to what I say. Come back to what the Bible teaches. And to really deeply get into God's Word and understand God's Word and let the Holy Spirit reveal His Word to you, and then you live by that truth, okay? And part of this, one of the things it says in Scripture is, to the extent that it's possible, we are to live with everyone with unity. To the extent that it's possible that we can, we should live at unity with everyone. To that extent, Eli, what do I say to you? If they view you as the prodigal, I would leave the door open. See, the prodigal story is he went back home. What you're saying is you can't go back home. The door is closed to you. But you know what? You grow in Christ, my friend. You let God speak to you. You learn. Get into a Bible-believing, teaching church. Know the truth. Explore the truth. And allow God's Word to be revealed to you. And as you grow spiritually, you're going to learn as you mature in Christ that there's going to be people who disagree with you. Sometimes it's the people closest to you. And sometimes they're going to cut off because they don't know how to deal with that. They're threatened by it. And if I were talking to your parents and your family, I'd say, listen, pray for Eli and keep the door open. You have no influence when the door gets closed. When the door is closed, there's no influence. The prodigal father could have closed the door to that son coming home and said, you have done it. You have disobeyed. You have done what you wanted to do, and I'm not interested. But that son had a humility in his heart that says, I want to be there. And I think as you approach the relationship with your family with humble and humility as a follower of Christ, that's the most important thing you can do in that relationship. That's powerful. All right, we've got to wrap up. I see that we've run out of time. If you'd like to join us next time, we're going to continue this discussion. All you have to do is call 888-888-1717 right now, and we'll take your call. We're going to record these for a show coming up later this week, I believe, as we talk about prodigals. 888-888-1717. I'm Dr. Randy. Have a great day.